This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. That's lumin.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
As we come into Romans chapter 7, hello, we must remember how chapter 6 ended. Paul was talking about being slaves to sin, and we were under the control of sin, and we were trapped by sin. And those things result in death. But now we're set free from sin and have become slaves to God, and the benefit reaps holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? Now, I've read that, so the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7 are all as one, because they are. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Do you not know that the law has authority only as long as you live? So he's continuing his treatise about what the law is, and he's continuing to talk about that. And he now says, law is for this life only. And he now comes into this example of marriage. If two people are married, they are under the law, saying that they are committed to each other for life. If they were to divorce and remarry, that is adultery under the law. But if one of them dies and the other one remarries, that is not adultery, because the marriage ends at death. When you die, the contracts you made in life come to an end. And that's the point he's making here about the law. When we die to the law, it no longer has any hold over us. So he's talking, of course, to Jewish people who understood the law and were under the law, and they knew what the law of God meant, and they were beholden to it. And if they did not keep it, then they had to go through rituals and sacrifices to get themselves back in a place where they're right with God. And verse 4 starts with, so, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. And this is the whole point of what he's saying, that when we become Christians, we give ourselves to Jesus and he gives himself to us. And there is a mighty transfer going on. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So what's Paul talking about here, as if the law has no more point? Jesus lived his life and fulfilled the law to the spirit, to the letter, completely. And then he was crucified as a lawbreaker. He was judged to have broken the law. The Jewish leaders said, this man deserves to die under our law. He has broken our law. He must be executed. The Romans accepted that. The execution took place. So by the Jewish leaders and the worldly Gentile nations executed this holy man who had never broken the law. And he was killed for our transgressions. Upon him was the iniquity of us all. So there is a transfer of our law brokenness was decreed to have been done by him. And his righteousness is given to us. So there is a complete transfer, that what we deserved, he gets, he got. And what he had, we receive. And that is this amazing transfer, that you might, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. So when the body of Christ died, we died to the law, because that death on our behalf brings an end to the contract. Do you get that? The marriage contract ends at death. The contract to be beholden to the law, the contract to follow the law, ends at death. And that death was done by Jesus on our behalf. That's the transfer. We are no longer subject to the law. Hold that thought. Now he goes on and says, when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies. And he has already argued in the previous chapters that actually when the law says thou shalt not, that's when we want to. The law saying you must not makes us arouse to say I want to. That's what he's reminding us of here. And therefore our bodies became ready for death, because we had broken the law, and if you break the law, you must die. But now we had died to that which bound us. We're no longer subject to the law. The power has been broken through the death of Christ on our behalf, and we are released from the law. So we now serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. What's he talking about here? Well, this is not saying we just sin. We are now, he's now saying what was written in stone is now our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us and wants to bear the fruit of Christ in us. And so it's not thou shalt not and we break the commandment. It is I want to live with you, Holy Spirit. How do I live with you today? We are married to a new partner. The law was our contract bearer. Now the Holy Spirit has the new covenant through Christ, and we have this new relationship, but it's not by a written law. Thou must not, thou must not, thou must not. It's I love you and I want to serve you. I want to live with you. I want to please you. It's a totally different thing. We've come a long way from Romans chapter 1, where we looked at the downward trajectory of humanity. And we've come to the point where we see that God, through Christ, has broken that downward trajectory. He has broken the power of that downward trajectory, and we are now given a freedom. We're now given a freedom in Jesus to live with him through the Holy Spirit and to be heading in a different direction. We're heading up for eternal life. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Because he's argued that the law is what generated sin in us, because we wanted to do what the law said we shouldn't. So is the law sinful? No, the law is righteous. The law is pure and holy. And the law reflects what is the nature and the character of God, just as Jesus demonstrates what is the nature and character of God. So where it was the written word and the law demonstrating what God is like, now it is the person of Jesus that demonstrates to us what God is like. And we desire to become like Jesus. But he's saying, no, the law is not sinful. The law is righteous. But that righteousness of the law made us want the opposite, because that's what human nature is like. Original sin is not just what Adam did. It's what we're all born with. We are born with a natural inclination to rebel against God. Horrendous as that is. So he talks about the fact that sin uses the opportunity of knowing what the law says to want to do the opposite. It wants to be rebellious. We want to be rebellious because the law says what God is like. And apart from the law, sin is dead, because he's argued that until God said, thou shalt not, there was no sin in the sense that there was no rebellion and no disobedience. So once, verse 9, I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. He's talking as if he lived before the law. He obviously didn't. But once he was taught the law, that's when he became morally culpable. Think about children. Children, a little baby, it will do what it does, and it will do what it does. And at some point, as it grows up, the parents are going to say, this is not acceptable. You cannot do this anymore. You have now got to an age where we cannot allow you to do this anymore. And when the child then does that thing, they're in trouble. Until then, they will have been corrected, but they wouldn't have been in trouble. Now they've broken the family code, the family rules, and now they rebel, they're in trouble. And it's more serious than before they knew what the rules were. So in 11 he says, sin seizes the opportunity afforded by the rules, afforded by the commandment. It deceives you into thinking, well, it doesn't account to me, does it? It's okay for me. And through the commandment put me to death. So when the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good, sin is rebellion against the righteousness. We all think it doesn't apply to us. You can't go through here. Yeah, but it doesn't apply to me. I'll go through that. That barrier says no one. I was out in a village a month or so ago, and there was a road that was blocked off, and it said, do not pass, do not pass, danger, do not pass. And a man started to climb over the fence and walk down, and the workers there started hollering at him. Get back, it's dangerous. What was happening was there was a wall, about a 10-foot high brick wall, which was leaning and was about to fall. And in fact, later in that day, it completely collapsed and fell across the road. That man thought, it doesn't apply to me, but the path he was on led to death, or would have led to death, if he hadn't turned back and the wall had collapsed at that point. If we think it doesn't apply to us, we're on the pathway to death. That's largely what Paul is arguing here. Did that which is good become death? No. The law says don't go past here because that wall is about to fall. The barrier is not sinful. The barrier is not what leads you to death. The barrier is what protects you from death. The law is the barrier that protects you from death. When you cross it, you are in danger and you will die. That's Paul's argument. Verse 14 says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm not. I'm unspiritual. I was sold as a slave to sin. I'm a rebel from birth. Original sin from birth, from the moment my mother conceived me, it says elsewhere, I have been against purity, against holiness. I have been naturally wanting to go the wrong way. I don't understand it. What I want to do, I don't do. What I hate, I do. Paul is beginning to wrestle and saying, look, I'm a Christian. I have the Holy Spirit. But even now, I am wrestling with these things. This is one of the most encouraging parts of the whole Bible, because you begin to realize that all the things we wrestle with are indeed temptations that are common to everybody. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're perfect. Paul himself is struggling with these things. If I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. I agree that what is there was the best thing. I hate what I do. But he then goes on to this bit where he says, therefore it's not really me that does it. So he's actually saying, there is a force at work in us which is beyond what our natural choices or our Christian choices might be. I want to follow you, God, but when I got to that point today, I went the wrong way. And even though I decided, even though I'd spent time in prayer, even though I'd read your word, even though I was with you at the beginning of the day, I got to that point and I just went the wrong way. And I didn't even think about it. I just naturally did it. And I hate the fact that I did. That's the sort of thing he's saying here. I have the desire to do what is good. I can't carry it out. I keep messing up. For what I do, verse 19, is not the good I want to, but the evil I don't want to do. And this I keep on doing. Is this not such a common understanding for us all? And if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin that living in me that does it. So he's beginning to say that we have our mind and our choice and our sit down. This is who I want to be. This is what I want to be. But there is the rebellious spirit as well. And he's not saying I'm not guilty. He's not saying I'm not responsible. But he is just saying there is a conflict within me that I cannot overcome. So 21, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And I don't know what the things that you struggle with are, whether they come from the body and take you away, or even whether it is your mind, because your mind hasn't been fully given to God. But these are the things to bring before God and be honest about and say, this is the problem. What a wretched man I am, verse 24. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's saying here, I am a sinful person. I keep getting it wrong. I can't stop getting it wrong. Who will rescue me? Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I find myself in my mind, I'm a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no gap. It moves on just as chapter 6 became 7, 7 becomes 8. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The therefore refers back to say, though I am a slave to God's law in my mind, the sinful nature is a slave to the law of sin, but there is no condemnation because I have been set free from the law, which is what condemns. I am dead to the law. The condemnation is no longer there. I am now living by the Spirit. There is no condemnation from the Holy Spirit. I am in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. And this is a key that we need to understand if we are a Christian. There is no condemnation for our sin. It's come to me, let's wash you down, and let's set you going again. And we'll get into that with chapter 8 next time.
Thank you.
listening.